to explain to you the parallel between Mass and the Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, because Mass, Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, is precisely the sacrifice of our Lord on Calvary, the same sacrifice. The only difference is the way it is offered is in a bloody manner. In Calvary, our Lord was offered himself in a bloody manner, yes. But it's the same sacrifice in such a way that if you ask what is greater, what has more value, whether the sacrifice of our Lord of Good Friday or this sacrifice of the Mass that we are celebrating, the answer has to be the same. It's the same value, because it's exactly the same. So our Lord, this is why our Lord Jesus Christ, when he was on Good Friday, Holy Thursday and Good Friday, suffering and his passion and death, the same sentiments that he had on Good Thursday and Good Friday is exactly what his sentiments during the Mass, his agony. So at the beginning of the Mass starts with the sign of the cross. As soon as we make the sign of the cross, it starts the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ. Himself is the one who offered Mass. The one who offers Mass is Christ. To whom he offered the Mass is to his Father. And what is offered is his own body, blood, and divinity and soul to his Father. So that his Father will accept the sacrifice, his sacrifice, and send the graces of forgiveness upon us. You see why the plan of God is that this Mass is going to be celebrated every day until the end of the world. And the way God is giving us the graces and his forgiveness is precisely through the sacrifice of the Mass, through Calvary, which is the Mass celebrated every day, is the sacrifice of the Calvary of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it starts by the agony in the garden. So when the priest made the sign of the cross, our Lord starts his agony in the garden. I remember the true reasons why our Lord had to suffer so much in his agony, was in agony. Three reasons. First, he saw all the sins committed by mankind since Adam and Eve until the last man living on earth before the end of the world. Passed before his eyes all the sins committed against God, against his dignity, his glory, the order, his goodness, the offenses, the damage done to his order, to his glory. Was the first reason of his agony. Second reason was he saw beforehand all that he was about to undergo, every detail of what he was going to suffer, the scourging of the pillar, the crown with thorns. He saw the trials, with Caiaphas and Annas and Pontius Pilate and Herod. He saw these apostles fleeing. He saw Judas killing himself. He saw his mother, especially his mother, his holy mother, suffering events of the Passion. And also, he saw every thing that happened to him, what was about to happen to him. He saw it. This is what he said: "Father, is it possible, pass for me the chalice, but not my will, but thy will be done." So teaching us how to pray. So this is why we have to pray. Said telling our Lord, "Lord, if it's possible, I would like this to happen, but not my way, not my will, but thy will be done, yes, thy will be done." So, and the two reasons why our Lord suffered the agony in the garden is because he saw all those who will be going to hell because they will not obey him. They will not follow the inspirations of the Holy Ghost or of grace. They will be choosing themselves to go to hell because they choose evil rather than good. No. So the Mass starts the agony. Those sentiments of our Lord are present during the Mass. Exactly, because it's the same sacrifice of the Calvary during Mass. So, and our Lord recites the psalm of the sadness. Precisely, he was sad unto death, he said, in the Calvary, in the agony, in the garden. Exactly what happened at the first prayer before he approached the altar. The altar represents the cross, where he will be immolated, the cross where he will be crucified. Where he started being captured by the soldiers of Caiaphas. So this is why when the Christ finished his agony in the garden, he kissed the altar. That kiss of the altar represents to repair the kiss of Judas. So we do the opposite, Christ does the opposite, and we do, so Christ together with the church, we do the opposite that Judas did. So we kiss the blood of the martyrs, so those who have given their life for Christ are there on the altar. It's the relics of the martyrs are there. So we, by kissing the relic, we are telling, our Lord is telling us that we must kiss his will, his cross, his most precious blood, together with that of the martyrs, which were associated to his sacrifice. It's what they die martyrs, because they die for Christ, no? It was sacrifice was had to wear with us, so we had to offer ourselves to offer our duties, our sufferings, our trials, our life, all that we have to offer to God, is in the moment to offer it to him. So this is why the priest kissed the altar, the relics. Here we have Saint Justus, second century martyr, and Saint Justa, also second century martyrs. And after that, so Christ is captured by the soldiers of Caiaphas, the Sanhedrin. So there are the readings of from the Bible, which is precisely professing the faith in Christ, doing the opposite of what those false witnesses were trying to accuse our Lord of teaching things against the law. So those false witnesses telling lies about Christ's doctrine. So that's the moment of his trial with Caiaphas and us. We do the opposite. So we profess our faith in his doctrine and his teachings by reading the epistle, the gospel, the secret, the collect, which are prayers and associating ourselves to the faith, to the doctrine of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so ends with the creed, the trials of our Lord with Caiaphas ends with the creed, which we recite on the altar. Sometimes when it's Feast of the Apostles, or the greatest feast of second rank, first rank, we pray the creed. But today is lower rank, so we don't pray the creed today. So after that comes the offertory. In the offertory, Christ himself offers himself to his Father for the redemption of mankind. He doesn't offer wine and bread, so he offers himself already. Even if there is not yet consecration, he starts offering his blood because it's out of time. Mass is out of time. It's the presence of the sacrifice of the Calvary through all the masses until the end. And our Lord is in that moment is when he's taken by Pilate to be asking the soldiers to score the scourging of the pillar. And the crown of thorns, when our Lord starts shedding blood, is the offertory. So when our Lord starts shedding blood, this is the offertory when our Lord starts offering his blood to his Father. Yes. This is why after the offertory is the lavabo, or the hands, which is to do the opposite of what Pontius Pilate did. Pontius Pilate was a coward. Yes, he decided not to apply justice to our Lord, but to please the Romans, try to please Romans and try to please the Jewish at the same time, and to try to please the people. So basically he presumed that he was washing his hands, his soul from the crime, that he was about to participate because he condemned our Lord Jesus Christ. Because he had in charge, he had authority from God to apply justice, so he was obliged to free our Lord. Even if he will lose everything, like even if he will be killed, no? So, in at Mass we do the opposite. It's this psalm of asking our Lord that we will not participate in the deeds of the evil people who are offending him continually. So we do the opposite of Pontius Pilate. We ask him to cleanse our hands from sin because we are culpable, but we don't want to participate anymore in his crucifixion. And after that comes the preface, which is the singing of the angels of thanksgiving when our Lord is condemned to die by Pontius Pilate. So basically that moment, God himself being condemned by men unjustly to die, is when the angels in heaven start singing together with the church this thanksgiving for so great goodness of God of delivering his son to die. So the only begotten son, God himself being delivered to die for us in order to pardon we sinners, delinquents, nothingness. It's the greatest event in history of God's love, God's mercy, to give his life for men who are sinners, who were sinners. And also, after that comes the Sanctus, 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 which is part of the hymn. But it's, the Sanctus, Sanctus, Sanctus means when our Lord grabs his cross and starts walking towards Calvary. So the three times holy, God himself is the thrice holy Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ, singing the praises of the angels and the men together, because our Lord is carrying our cross way to Calvary. So the three times holy, God himself carrying our cross to Calvary. So from the Sanctus, Sanctus, Sanctus to the consecration are the first 12 stations of the way of the cross. It's the canon, we call the canon of the Mass, which is, of course, the most sacred part. Our Lord taught the apostles how to say the canon of the Mass and make reference to the meeting with the Blessed Virgin Mary on the way to Calvary, the meeting with the Holy Women of Jerusalem, and the Cyrene helping him to carry the cross. These two references are very clear in the canon of the Mass before the consecration. And before the words of the consecration, the priest placed his hands like this, so our Lord Jesus Christ, upon the victim, which is himself, like this, the chalice and the host. This symbol of placing the hands upon the victim comes from the Old Testament. You recall the book of Leviticus, when the priests will place their hands upon the victim, the goat, to be sacrificed, meant that the priest was discharging all the sins of the people upon that goat who will be killed in order to expiate for the sins of the people, of the Jewish people. Of course, that animal was representing Christ, the Messiah, who was to come and sacrifice himself for us. It's how what God the Father will see in advance the sacrifice of his son when the high priest will discharge the sins of the people upon the animal, which was our Lord. So God will forget the sins of the people, of the Jewish people, on account of the future Messiah who was about to come. This is why the priest, God himself put his hands like this before the consecration. So because it's the nailing of his hands on the cross. Basically, his body is going to suffer the sins which are in the cross, who are going to be charged upon him, as he would have committed them, but he never committed, of course. He's sinless, but he's willing to carry our sins. This is why he's nailed to the cross, is when the priest placed his hands upon the oblation. So this is the 12th station of the way of the cross. And after that comes, sorry, the 11th station of the way of the cross. So after that comes the consecration, the words of the transubstantiation, of our Lord Himself and transform the bread into His body and the wine into His blood, and He elevates it. It's exactly when our Lord is raised on the cross to be seen by everybody. It's the 12th station of the way of the cross. And from that point, after the consecration to the Our Father, is when our Lord is on the cross, hanging on the cross, saying His seven words. And there are also references in the canon about His seven words saying to us on the cross. So if, for example, the prayer of the good thief is when we say, Nobis cuque peccatoribus, we hit our breast and we said Nobis cuque peccatoribus, make allusion to the good thief who asked pardon to Christ on the cross, asking Him for paradise for him. And we do the same. That prayer, Nobis cuque peccatoribus, is exactly the same prayer of the good thief asking pardon. Also, it's a reference of our Lord telling the Blessed Virgin Mary to take care of us, to deliver us from the evils. So He asked her to take care of us in St. John. We were in St. John at the foot of the cross. Means you are at the foot of the cross in this moment, assisting at Mass. So what our Lord asked St. John is addressed to us. Means, you remember our Lord told St. John, the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mulier, or sea, women before thy son, Son before thy mother. And the Gospel of St. John says that from that day on, the disciple received her in her house as her own. So exactly what our Lord is telling us in this part of the Mass, saying, Mary, please take care of your children, and children, please take care of my mother. It's my last words before I die, is that you go to her, and you fulfill the fourth commandment that I was fulfilling. Now you are going to fulfill the fourth commandment to love, to honor, to respect, and to obey your mother. My mother will be your mother. So you are going to, from now on, to fulfill the fourth commandment, which is to obey, to respect, to love your mother. My mother will be yours, and He will be taking care of you as He was taking care of me. But you have to obey, to honor, and to respect her, no? Exactly what we have been doing for the last 20 centuries, no? And after that comes the minor elevation. So our Lord takes the consecrated host, so His body, His most precious blood, and He elevates them a little bit. And that means He expires on the cross. Our Lord dies on the cross. So this is why He's lifted. Because His soul left His body and went to limbo, no? To the bosom of Abraham. And we lay down on the cross. And after that comes the Our Father, which is precisely our Lord meeting with the Abraham, David, and all the holy prophets of the Old Testament in limbo, giving them the first news of the redemption. And this is why He prayed the Our Father to His Father, precisely to ask for us. He started asking already for us through His sacrifice for our daily bread, which is coming, so the communion. He's asking for us to forgive our debts, our trespasses. I will forgive those who trespass against us, yes. And also He started asking for us, for His Father, to deliver us from temptation and to be free from evil, no? So Christ started praying for us, interceding for us as a high priest before His Father, the Our Father. And after the Our Father comes the descending of the body of our Lord from the cross into the arms of Mary. And it's precisely when the priest at Mass after the Our Father placed the host for the body of Christ on the golden pattern. The pattern represents Mary, which is hidden under the corporal during Mass, contemplating, offering herself with Christ during Mass. And at that point, after the Our Father, the priest takes the patio for the hidden place, which represents Mary, and places the consecrated host, Jesus Christ, in her arms. So this is exactly the 13th station of the Way of the Cross, when Mary receives Jesus in her arms. Yes. And after that comes the resurrection, which is when the priest, after placed Mary on, Jesus into his body into the arms of Mary, he breaks the host in two parts, and a third part is dropped into the chalice, saying, "Pax Domini sit semper vobiscum," means the pax be always with thee. No? It was the greeting of our Lord when he resurrected to the apostles. He said, the peace will be unto you. No? It's our Lord's resurrection because the consecrated host, his body, is united again, yes, with his soul and his divinity and his blood. It's exactly the resurrection at that moment. This is why after the dropping of the particle into the consecrated chalice, the priest says, "Pax Bobby, so peace be to you." It's the resurrection already. And it's the moment in which, after participating in the sacrifice with our Lord, sharing his cross, we are purified in his blood. Now we are able to receive communion, which is the end of Mass, to consume the victim as a holocaust, which was offered to God the Father. So to consume this holocaust, the victim has to be consumed. As the Old Testament, they had to eat the victim or to consume it with fire completely. So it's by eating our Lord precisely to be united to us completely, as we'll be in heaven, we eat our Lord Jesus Christ in communion. So we receive him in his glorified body, as he is in heaven now. It's how we receive him in communion. We're receiving the host, his body, but united to his blood, soul, and divinity together. So this is a pledge of everlasting life, because it's what is going to happen in heaven. When we die, if we die faithful to God and in grace, we will enjoy God forever and ever in eternity. So our reward is our Lord. Our reward is to be united to our Lord in his life, in his love, and to see and to know as he knows and as he sees and as he loves will be the way we will be living our life in heaven. So the closest to heaven is communion, precisely. The beginning of enjoying God on earth, because he unites his body with our body, his soul with our soul, and his divinity with our humanity. Remains there a few minutes, 20 minutes usually, until the body digests, the real presence of our Lord is gone, after 20 minutes more or less. So this is why this is the Mass, this is the sacrifice of the Mass, is precisely our Lord's passion and death. We participate at the foot of the cross, uniting ourselves to him. This is why our Lady of Solitude, she's at Mass present, Our Lady, but she's enduring what she suffered on Good Holy Thursday and Good Friday and Holy Saturday. She was the same sentiment that Mary had those 3 days, second reason, is the same sentiment that she had during Mass. This is why she's very important. To mention her, the canon of the Mass mentioned her many times, because she's sharing in the redemption of our Lord. She's sharing in the anguish, in the sorrows of our Lord, and she contemplates and she offers herself to it with our Lord, like with the saints, who the saints later on and us, and each one of us are offering ourselves completely, continually to God as a one sacrifice. So this is the explanation of Mass. This is what was taken away from us as a punishment, because people were not living Mass as they should. They will be coming in an unrespectful manner, in a worldly manner. They will abuse our Lord's goodness, mercy, and his body, his most precious blood. Because our Lord said, he himself said, "Don't cast the pearls to the pigs, to the swine." Yeah. So our Lord saw that we were ungrateful, that we were not treating him with despiteful manner. So he took away, he allowed that we be despoiled for the true Mass. So this bus is very rare nowadays, you know, it's Spanish, and even it's forbidden already. So it's why it's a great grace to be able to come to Mass and to know what is it, and to offer ourselves with a Christ and Mary as one sacrifice with Christ for our redemption. And the Father and the Son of God.